Hello, everyone. We're going to get started 1 minute early today because I got lots to cover for the Q&A. And then I also have a call right after y'all. So it is Corinne's day to do all the talking. Right. I'm going to bring up Coach Betsy. She is going to be inside the Q&A. So she will take some of the questions while I'm teaching and doing the things. So let me get all my screens set up. It'll be just a hot second, and then we'll be there, y'all. All right. So today, we are going to, there we are. All right, let me get my notes up. So today, I'm going to be talking about developing an athlete's mindset, and we are doing that because we have kicked off registration for the Don't Stop Believing event. So let me just go over a couple things real quick. Number one, I'm going to teach about developing an athlete's mindset, and then we will take some questions from you guys. This is our weekly Q&A session with me, where some weeks I teach a little bit and some weeks we just do question and answer. So if you're brand new to NoBS, which some of you may, we have had a few hundred people already join this morning, because it's opening day and why I'm dressed with some bling and some sparkly. So if you're brand new, this is an optional call. This is always will go into your private member podcast. So you do not have to worry about if you cannot attend live calls. Everything is always put into our private member podcast and into our video replay section. We upload those twice a week for everyone. The other thing you need to know is that No BS is where we all start. So when you come to live calls, for all of my people who are here, number one, we don't attend live calls unless we have what? Put in the chat. What must be done in order to earn your way in? Exactly. The 24-hour plan must be made. If you ain't got a 24-hour plan made, you pause or you leave the call and you make that first. There is no sense in putting more information in your head if you don't at least know what the fuck you're going to eat today and cleaned up your brain using our planner. So I just happen to have the planners on my desk. Here's the purse size version. Every single day, it's going to be asking you questions like, what might get in the way of my doable hunger? What can I tell myself to stay on plan today? What do I like about me? When we are ready to change our lives, then we are going to be decisive. And the planner is the first place where every single day you have control over your life. You have control over your thinking. No one controls this but you. So for all of you who are wanting control in your life, I suggest you do this and quit whining that, like, I don't know why I do these things. I don't know why I think shit about myself. I don't know why, blah, blah, blah. When we get very clear and clean on what we're going to be eating and thinking every single day, and we know it, we start our day with some control. All right. So again, it's just a Q&A. Now, for all of my members that have been here a hot minute, I'm talking to you. I'm not talking to newbies. This month is self-love month. So we are spending the entire month of March going through the self-love course. It's got a few fresh updates. So I suggest you go to the self-study resources on the website and you take a look at everything that we have there for self-love. We've given you outlines. We've given you tools. We've given you all kinds of stuff in there. Because this month, what I really wanted to do with the membership is I wanted to help all of you love the process of losing weight. So there is always the love of self that we're going to work on, but a key part of being able to lose weight is to be able to actually like the process. When we are dieting in the traditional sense, they don't teach us to love the process. They teach us willpower, forcing ourselves. They teach us what we can and cannot have. It is a lot of rules. The one thing I know that made a difference for me with my weight loss is I fell in love with the lifestyle that I created, and I decided what lifestyle I really wanted to have for Corinne. It even evolved over the years. It continues to evolve. Things that were important 10 years ago are, there's just new things that are important this day. So we want to make sure that we learn to love the process. So all of the calls this month is going to be around focusing on how do we do that. All right. So we have some loving the process interactive calls where our coaches are going to be taking you through the core NoBS worksheets, the actual NoBS course. They're going to be taking you through things like the weekly assessment this month, the discovery worksheets, journaling, and we're going to do all of it with a self-love lens. So there's completing the things and doing them and saying, I have to do this. I'm never going to lose weight if I don't. Like, I need to make myself do one of those discovery worksheets. There's a lot of self-loathing kind of thinking that we do around stuff. And then we wonder why it's a grind. So this month, what we want to do is we want to help all of you go through some of the core things that we do here. And we want to fill them out now with a whole new mindset. When you change your mindset around the tools that we give you, your experience of weight loss changes for you. And then we also, if like, let's say you've been around for a while or you're brand new, this Sunday, March 6th, 11 a.m., I will be going live and I will be doing the big new member orientation. There is a guide that comes along with it. If you will go to the training calendar in the helpful worksheets page, you will find that guide there. So you don't have to come if you've been around a while. If you don't need it and you're rocking and rolling, this is one of those calls I would skip. But let's say you've been around a while and you kind of been like, I'm coming out of my winter hibernation. I look up and I remember I'm a NoBS woman and it's spring and I'm ready to just like shake off the winter. Come join us for orientation. It's going to be motivating. I'm going to make sure everybody knows what they're supposed to be doing and we're all going to get focused and aligned. And then just don't forget that we do have new members coming in. They will be coming into the Facebook group on Saturday. We're going to let them finish out their challenge and let them like get used to the lay of the land a little bit. And then we'll be welcoming them officially in the Facebook group starting on Saturday. As NoBS women, every one of us knows what it's like to be nervous as fuck, worried you can't do it. I have been already reading so many women in the group who literally cried when they paid. It is different here. And we don't want to forget that every one of them is scared and they don't know that they're going to wake up from a year from now and think that was the best thing I ever did for myself. And part of that is you making sure that they get the warmest welcome ever, that you share your successes, you talk to them about what's working, you tell them the little things that you're doing that make things easier. The more you help the next person, the more you enjoy your experience of losing weight, the more you lock in a new identity that you're doing it. So make sure that we take all the babies and we welcome our little March babies and we love on them hard and we get them started off on the right foot. All right, let's do this. So I hope a lot of you are registering for Don't Stop Believing. Today we're going to talk about the mindset of an athlete. Don't Stop Believing is an event that we have been having for the last few years where women from all over can virtually or in person race. But it's not your mama's race. It's not the runner's world race. This event is open to anyone who would like to walk or run for either 1 hour, for 2 hours, or for 3 hours. We're not doing it by distance. I didn't want to do it by distance. What I really wanted to do is really prove to people that you getting out there is the victory. You showing up with a new mindset, that's the win. There's no first place and there's no last place. There is just all of us doing it and learning how to love moving our bodies. Learning that we might be able to do it when everybody's told us we're too big, we're too old, like we're too slow, whatever that bullshit is, we're dropping all of it. That is not what Don't Stop Believing is about. So this is an event where if you come to Nashville, you will train virtually. We give you a training plan for 12 weeks. And during those 12 weeks, you get 7 calls from me and Jane. I will be doing mindset coaching around, like, you know, being nervous that you can't finish, being nervous about what other people think of you when you're out on the trail and other people are like, hey, who's that lady? Jane will be doing the technical Q&As, where she will be answering all the questions about chafing in weird places. And what do you do about that? How much water should I be drinking? When should I start adding in things like Gatorade? I've heard people eat while they run for energy. How do you do that? What stuff do you do so that you don't shit your pants? How do you start and finish without shitting your pants? How do you take potty breaks when there's no porta potty? My friends, these are the things that we worry about. And these are the things that in our training that we cover. Because I'm going to tell you, it's just like weight loss. When it comes to doing any kind of an event, if you're going to be a walker or a runner, most of us get scared over the craziest of bullshit. So we want to make sure that we are alleviating a lot of fears. So all the information is over on nobswomen.com. Just go over there and take a look. DSB is different than camp. Camp is a 3-day, like, mental transformation weekend. We will be working on the relationship with yourself, and we will be working on the relationship with others. It is the only event like it, and it is the only one this year. There will not be more camps this year. So if you're looking for the camp experience, whether it's virtual or in person, this is it for you until 2023. We do not have another one scheduled until April of next year. So make sure that if you're going to want to attend our 3-day transformation event, that you go ahead and get signed up. Swag boxes start going out, I believe, at the end of this week. And we're going to be mailing about 200 to 300 every single day. So don't freak out if you see people getting boxes and you ain't got your box yet. You will get a notification when your box is sent. All right. We had 10 more members join the Queens Club this month. That is, if you've lost 25 pounds with me listening to the podcast before you joined in OBS, or you've lost 25 pounds that you joined, you get access to join the Queens Club, which is a special Facebook group with a special monthly call where they just kind of work on the next stuff. Let's see. All right, now we're going to get into how to have an athlete's mindset at any size. We went to our NoBS exercisers, and so we have a subgroup called the NoBS exercisers, and we asked them a few questions about what keeps you from seeing yourself as an athlete, and what are your best tips for becoming an athlete. So, like, the very first thing that we all have to realize is that step one is, when you have an athlete's mindset, you have to know that it is coming from your thoughts about your movement. It's not earned through pace, how much weight you lose, or how much weight you can lift. Anybody who wants to be called an athlete gets to be called an athlete. You just have to adopt the mindset that you are one. Most of us, what happens is we let our old shitties get in the way. So old shitty comes, like, marching in the room, like, what do you mean? I remember when I first started losing weight, I wanted to be an adult athlete so bad. I'd never played sports. As I've told y'all 1,000 times, I was the girl that my PE teacher, Miss Avancic, would sit me on the bleachers and tell me that I couldn't participate in what we were playing because nobody wanted me on their team because I was too big, too slow, and not good at it. So I had no experience. I don't even understand why I wanted it so bad. Other than I watched my brother, who was a natural born athlete. He played sports his entire life. He was great at, if there was a ball involved, he was great at it. Just a natural talent, but not me. So when I first started losing weight, I knew I wanted to start walking, but I just wanted to be an adult athlete so bad. I'd had friends that had been runners and I was jealous. I knew my brother-in-law was an Ironman athlete, and I just thought it was the most amazing thing I'd ever seen. And I decided I wanted to learn how to run. And I had probably, I think I'd lost about 20 pounds when I decided I wanted to learn how to run. I had a lot of shame. I had a lot of crap in my head about it. You know, this was back in the day when there weren't runners at every size. I would have given anything if back in the day podcasts were a thing and I could have listened to my friend Jill Angie's podcast, Not Your Average Runner. I think she is doing an amazing service to the entire world by teaching women of all ages and sizes to get over your bullshit. If you want to be an athlete, you just get to be one because you decide you're going to be one. And so some of the things that get in our way are crappy ass thoughts like I had, which is I don't have a natural talent for exercise. Well, I was always the girl benched. I never played sports. I'm just like, I'm not good at it. Or like, you gotta have a certain kind of body in order to be a runner. I had all of those shitty thoughts for a long time. And when I first got started, what happened for me is I would have my shitty thoughts, but then I would interject some new thinking on top. So like, I would think things like I'm too big to run. And I would also tell myself, but I really want to run. So I'm just going to have to get over that part. Sometimes our new thinking doesn't have to be unicorns and daisies. It just has to tell us that, yeah, you feel like shit, but that's no reason. It's not even a good reason anymore to keep your ass on the sidelines of life. At some point, we have to quit using our weight and all of our other shitty thoughts about ourselves to stay on the couch. Because on the couch, we just have our shitty thoughts. At least if I'm out doing things, I've got some shitty thoughts plus some good ones because I'm showing up for myself and I'm doing some new stuff. So for a while, I was just holding both. Shame, confusion, like all the things. I shouldn't be here. I'm going to be dead last. Guys, I can't tell you how many fucking races I was dead last. Dead last. So last that the race organizers had left and I had to guess where the finish line was. I just had to go by memory because they'd done like gone home. But I just kept plugging at it. It was not easy. It wasn't easy at all. But if you really want something, it's never going to be easy. And I knew that all I needed to do was to keep reminding myself, it's all right if you're thinking these things. So the first thing for an athlete's mindset you have to do is just notice your old shitties. Like just hear them. Then the second thing you do, and I will be teaching all of this at Relationships Camp. We're going to be talking about the four N's in relationships. And right now we're going to talk about the four N's in mindset for an athlete. The next is to normalize it. Y'all, these are just your default patterns. It is. It's shit you've been told all your life. Just like how we have to ditch our diet trauma, many of us have a lot of exercise drama to ditch too. So like for me, all the kids picking me last, being told that I couldn't play sports. I will say this, it's kind of a lie. I did play one sport. For one time, I played volleyball. I loved it. Loved volleyball. But I was rarely put in. And we had to wear these white shorts. I don't know why we had to wear white shorts of all things. And my shorts would ride so far up that it would just about floss my vajayjay. And I was so humiliated. That just left a very traumatic impact on me. For the rest of my life, I was very sensitive about what I must look like when I'm exercising. Because I remember girls asking me, why did my shorts do that? They were all thin. Their shorts did not do that. I was the only big girl in my class. And so that was hard for me. And so I spent like the rest of my life thinking more about what I must look like and thinking other people must be judging me, all because of that. So I had to normalize that this is normal. I can see why this is happening. And so we want to make sure that we understand that you do not have to weigh a certain amount. You do not have to be anything. You just need to be aware of when you're doing that to yourself. You just have to be very aware of, like, I notice my old shitties, and that's normal. Like, it's okay that I'm thinking it. I think normalizing some of your thinking really helps you get some relief. Most of the time, what we do is we notice our thinking and then we feel bad about our thinking. And I want you to notice your thinking and I want you to normalize your thinking. There is nothing wrong with you. You have grown up being socialized all of your life around a lot of what walkers, runners, and fit people and people who go to the gym, what they should look like. You can't go to magazines hardly without seeing someone with a ridiculous body of like the top 4% in the world. 4% of women will ever look like those magazine covers. 96% of us, we just look normal. We just the way we are. We got loose skin. I got the wrinkles coming in. I got it all coming up through here. That's called a normal body. That's not something to be ashamed of. That's not something to hide. That's not something to stay out of the gym because you're afraid of what people will think. That's not something to slow you down. It's called normal. And the more we see normal bodies, the more we can go out and do the things we want to do in this world. The third thing that you do, so we're going to notice and normalize. The third thing that we are going to do is we are going to neutralize our thoughts by making sure that we take a lot of our inflammatory language out. So I want to give you the definition of what an athlete is. An athlete is a person who is proficient in sport and other forms of physical exercise. Nowhere in that definition says, here's what an athlete is. They're the best, they're skinny, they're fast, they work out 10 times a week, they're real good at it. None of that is in the definition of being an athlete. It just means that you get to where you're proficient. And guess what? Proficient has a lot of definition, a lot of interpretation to it. You know what proficient to me is? I follow my schedule. I think when I think about all right, what separates athletes from other people? One of the things that separates athletes from other people is they don't make excuses when it's time to work out. Just like this week, I have calls that start at 8 a.m. every day and they go for a long period of time. It's also beautiful outside this week. I'm always the kind of person that likes to work out first thing in the morning, except for this week. I have a lot of prep work to do all morning long before I even get to the work at 8 a.m. So I told myself, I don't make excuses. I'm not going to say, because I can't do it first thing in the morning, I'm just taking a week off. I tell myself, the second your meetings are done, you change your clothes, you go out and you do 45 minutes. You follow your schedule. It's going to be real simple this week, Corinne. That's part of being proficient. That, when we think about athletes, the other things that athletes do that we can all think about that make us an athlete, that so that we can neutralize everything. It's what else are athletes doing? They don't just always eat what they want in the moment. Sometimes they think about how they're going to feel when they're going to work out or when they're going to do a race, and they prioritize feeling good for that over chowing down on some Oreos real quick. Because they had a bad day. So we just want to think about those things. So when we're neutralizing, we want to make sure that we understand the definition is a person who is proficient in sports and other forms of physical exercise. Then I want you to start looking for new evidence. I want you to go onto Instagram, or I want you to go on Facebook, and I want you to start following runners and walkers who look like you. Not who look perfect and who are running super wicked fast and all this other kind of bullshit. No, find people like you. Find evidence of loose skin, of people who have loose skin at all ages doing all kinds of things. And they're lifting weights. And they're taking selfies after they've gone out for their walk. Those people are out there too. Follow those accounts. Fill your head. Neutralize the landscape. Don't just follow cut, hard, lean bodies. Stop buying those kinds of magazines and stuff. One of the beautiful things that it's going to be about Don't Stop Believing is in our private Facebook group, we're going to be asking y'all, share your long run, share your long walk. Show us how you're stretching today. Show us how you're fueling. We want to see women of all ages, all backgrounds, cultures, sizes, doing it. It's going to be one of the best places for you to kind of reset and exercise mindset. And if you don't want to do Don't Stop Believing, here's where I would go. The No BS Exercisers group. Join our subgroup. Look at the people and what they're doing and how proud they are. I don't know her name, but she posts, I think she posts in the exercisers, but she for sure also posts in the Losing 100 group. Somebody tell me, y'all will know exactly who I'm talking about. She's been going to the gym and she posts a little sweaty selfie each day. And she's got the most beautiful smile. You can see the pride in her face because she's showing up for herself. Whoever this is, y'all please let her know. I have commented a couple of times. I see her selfies. I think she's so motivating. I'm so proud of her. Y'all let her know that she's making a difference because it is not easy. I remember what it's like to go to the gym at the beginning of my journey. Even when I enjoyed the exercise and stuff, you know what I didn't enjoy? I didn't enjoy my self-talk at all. I drug my ass in there often. Not because I thought I had to. I drug my ass in there because I would tell myself the thousands of reasons why I wasn't good enough to be there. And it was the repeated dragging myself in there and saying like, nope, we're going to do a workout. That's neutralizing. Nope, I deserve to be here because I want to be here. I pay my money like everybody else. That's me neutralizing so that I'm not just living with that shitty committee going on in my head over and over and over again. The last step. So we've got, you need to notice, you need to normalize, you need to neutralize. And the last one is next best thought. One of the things that we encourage you to do is to borrow some belief from some of our No BS women and what they've been doing. So next best thought is not unicorn thought. It is, what can I tell myself right now to shift my energy just a little bit, to get out of the dooter and just take a step forward? Sometimes it's asking a question like, can I just do 10 minutes, even though right now I feel like I'm not good enough to do this? That I'll never be able to figure it out, that I'll always be the slow one, whatever your thought is. So here were a few that we collected from our members. Paula Wearum, who is an oldie but a goodie. She was like client number 7, we think. As long as I can move and enjoy it, I'm an athlete. Stacey Lucky said, I consider myself someone who knows the power of movement at any size, and I don't need to feel like an athlete to do that. Joan said, an athlete trains and has goals. Goals may change as we age, but the distinction is that it's purposeful. So it's okay if you don't see yourself as an athlete yet, which yet is a really key word there, but I want you to be willing to see that training and exercise is just another way to pursue your goals. It's another way to teach yourself how to set a goal and achieve it. For a lot of our No BS women, having a goal around exercise, it wasn't the exercise that caused them to lose weight, but having the goal changed their mindset. They started taking care of themselves differently. And that became the way they ended up losing their weight. Not because they exercised with a shitty mindset, but because they exercised and worked on developing an athlete's mindset along the way. And that was the key for a lot of people to actually start losing their weight, because then they could apply mindset shifts straight dope to all of the food stuff too. here's just a few more things that we got about from our Nobius exercisers. It was work out in ways that make you happy. Do it now, and do it often. Don't worry about what other people think. And then don't neglect your strength workouts. This one's a big one for me. I think all of you should try to lift some weights. You ain't got to be in there throwing around 50-pound dumbbells, but I really believe in strength training. I think it's good for your body. I, in particular, believe that strength training is what makes the difference between someone who is going to be needing a walker and needing to be in a wheelchair in their old age, and the one that's still walking is still kicking ass at 80, 90, and 100 years old. I plan to be the kind of person that can still get her ass up out of the floor at 100 years old. I want to be the kind of person that if I need to get in the floor and do something, I can. If I need to clean my house, bend over and do those things, I can. That is what strength training does for you. There are lots of places where you can get strength training. My favorite, I do a lot of the, I actually have a Pinterest board where I will go through and I will save like, you know, upper body workouts and stuff. Sometimes I'm just following those things in a gym. But a lot of times I love the Peloton app. I've had the Peloton app forever. They have strength training workouts in there. Sometimes I just plug the Peloton app in and be like, let somebody tell me what to do. So there's lots of different apps out there. You can YouTube videos for all kinds of things. You can do like for women of all sizes. I'm sure there are YouTube videos out there for strength training. For women of all ages, I'm sure there are YouTube videos out there for strength training. Just do a little bit of a sweat equity and find you some stuff. But for all of you, I would highly recommend strength training once or twice a week. I think it's a game changer. All right, let's see what questions y'all have. So if you can think, okay, I'm an athlete, but physically you can't do it. Just do what little you can. Yeah, I wouldn't call it what little I can, though. I would start with what can I do? I mean, there are athletes in wheelchairs. There are athletes. I mean, there's the whole Paralympics. So it doesn't have anything to do with your physicality. It has an athlete's mindset. It's called mindset for a reason. It's all about how you think. So if you want to think about like, all right, what things can I do? I always think about Jill Rosenau, who's one of our members, who's lost over 150 pounds. When she first started, she was in a wheelchair. And I don't even think she asked me this on a Q&A. I don't even think she was a member yet. I think this was way back in the day before she joined. And she had asked a question about movement. Because like she was just like, I want to move. What can I do? And that was the pivotal question. And she asked me, what could she do? And I pointed her in the direction of chair yoga, stuff that she could do just in her chair. For everybody who wants to do something, there is something you can do. Can you be a runner if you're 53 with arthritis in your knees? I would consult with my doctor, but you probably could be a walker. There's all kinds of things that you can do. I mean, that's a question more for your doctor about like, you know, like what will this like do or not do for your knees? Like it depends on your pain threshold, things like that. There are people who run with arthritis. My best friend is one of them. She is now starting to get some arthritis, but she still runs. But like, it just depends on where you're at and all that stuff. I would just consult with them though. And just say like, hey, I really want to become someone who moves their body. And I've got the arthritis in my knees and I want you to help me figure out like, here are the things I'm interested in. What are your thoughts? What can we do? But you got to go into it with what can we do attitude instead of like, well, you know, I got that arthritis. It's probably not a good idea. What do you think? Don't set it up like a big Eeyore walking in there. When you talk to your doctor, the last thing you want to do is be an Eeyore. Y'all need to take some authority. You got to go in there talking about your possibility. Telling them what you're willing to do, what you're interested in. You got to like take old shitty and leave it in the waiting room. When you go to your doctor's office, you're your best advocate for you. And I'm going to guarantee you, I know that we give the doctors a bad rap a lot of times. Y'all, we have so many doctors inside of NoBS. And not one of them have ever came to me and said, yeah, I'm kind of a selfish son of a bitch. And that's why I decided to become a doctor so that every day I could treat patients and try to make them feel bad. That is not why doctors become doctors. It would be the same thing of like saying, you know what? I really hate children and I want to make sure that I can ruin as many lives as possible. So I'll become a teacher. Like, I want you to think about it. They want to help you. But they probably will be able to help you better when you come in with an attitude of, I'm ready to change my life. Here's what I'm willing to do. Here's what I'm thinking about it. What can we do together to do this for me? I love going to Orange Theory. Oh, I used to go to Orange Theory. Woo! I don't have one close to me now. We are opening up a boxing studio close to me, though, and I'm really thinking about joining when it opens. I was an athlete in high school, and it reminds me of that. However, in my mid-40s, I have knee, hip, and back pain that hurt worse when I go. I do all the modifications, walking, modified exercises, and still feel pain. I feel defeated thinking about switching to yoga or something. First of all, don't feel defeated doing yoga. You know, Corinne is yoga teacher certified. I don't teach, but I did get certified. It was a year-long program or nine-month program. It was 9 months because I remember joking thinking it felt like I had a large baby and the baby was me. Yoga can be challenging and yoga is so good for us and it is so good for our body. So do not discount yoga. But I will tell you the reason why I quit going to Orange Theory. I loved Orange Theory. MJ still goes to Orange Theory, but I was getting injured a lot. The one thing about Orange Theory that I think that you have to be mindful of is that they're just teaching group classes. And so you're going to go and you may risk, because it's all high intensity, you know, you get more points for the higher intensity and stuff. It doesn't really have in their schedule a really good way to make sure that you are getting things worked out in a balanced way. You know, like you don't necessarily always know the way, at least when I was going, you didn't always know what the workout was going to be. So there were like some weeks where I felt like I did like a lot of like high intensity cardio. And then like we would hit chest and back. Then it was chest and back day again. It felt like it was chest and back day one more time. And I started getting some weird overuse injuries. So just be mindful. But this is the thing about it, Sheila, is you're talking about like doing yoga is a defeatist thing. There's no glory in sweat. There's no glory in something being too hard on your body. It like your body needs several different types of training patterns. It need like there's days that I just go for a walk because I know that is exactly what my body needs. And I don't sit there and be like, well, all I can do is walk today. This sucks. I tell myself, hey, I'm the kind of person that makes sure she moves most days. And today, I think a walk actually will feel really good for my body. I don't need to crush it every day to have an athlete's mindset. I need to appreciate the things I do. And I need to listen. Here's what athletes do. They listen to their body. Especially high-paid athletes. High-paid athletes, if they've got nagging injuries, the last thing you see them is pushing through the pain. They're switching over to mobility work. They're switching over to stretching. They're switching over to yoga and stuff because they have a mindset about their body. Their body is important. And that is what we need to remember. I'm going through menopause and over the last year, I'm not losing weight. I've recently started exercising. What is the best type of exercise at this stage of my life? You really have to play with it. There's no best kind of exercise for anyone. It's more about try some things and see what your body enjoys, what your body loves, what you love, and just see what happens there. I used to work out regularly. My husband has worked out regularly his whole life. Whenever I was done working out, his comment was, "That's all you're doing." I felt defeated. Yeah, because you took his comment and you made it more important than the opinion you have of yourself. I mean, seriously, y'all, you're not defeated because of what somebody says. You're defeated when you're like, oh my God, I didn't do enough. When you agree with somebody else's comments, then you just feel whatever it is that you agree with. If you don't want to feel defeated, you want to feel proud of your workout, you just need to say like, yeah, that is. That's exactly what I'm doing today. I feel real good about it. What did you do? Tell me about your workout. Like, it really can be that easy. So right now, anonymous, you're saying like, how do I get this out of my head and begin working out? You need to tell yourself, my husband never made me feel defeated. Me agreeing that what I was doing was not enough is the only reason why I feel defeated. And it's the only reason why I don't go work out. This is where we just take responsibility. Like, this was me. This was all me. It was never him. He has a very different standard for what enough is. Okay, he gets to do his standard. You need to decide, my standard is this, and when am I going to get my own back and have my own back around my standard? Let me work harder on believing in my standard than I am blaming him for why I feel bad. And when I blame him for feeling bad, I feel bad, and then I don't go work out. I have strong thoughts around sweating. My face turns bright red and I'm soaking wet and I feel embarrassed. All right, Cindy, let me just say this. Me too, but I don't get embarrassed. I use it as an excuse to not exercise. How do I move past this? Tell yourself, I'm amongst the greats. I am amongst the giants of exercise because, bitch, I'm going to tell you right now, my friends crack up because it can be 30 degrees outside. And I start walking and I'll tell Jane, damn it, my pits are already sweating. Here I am. I get beet red. I will see, is my mother here? I don't know if my mother's here. She's probably not. She's probably face down in customer support right now, welcoming newbies. But somebody needs to tell Mammy, if she has this picture, and we may have it on my team, of me in high school, in my band uniform, after the first time that we had to march from the school to the football field. Well, my school was in downtown Nashville and we played at Vanderbilt Stadium. So we had to march a mile and a half in August heat to get to the stadium in head to toe, thick ass polyester. And if that's not bad enough, Corinne was, I don't know, I probably weighed 220 pounds back then. I played the cymbals my freshman year. They were heavy as fuck. And we marched fast and I'm playing my cymbals and had all these big fucking crashes. They would call them Mickey Mouse ears. You never seen such a thing. That I still do the same thing to this day. I remember one time coming in from a run a few years ago. This is after I'd lost my weight. No, it was before I'd lost all my weight. And my mother-in-law looked at me and said, oh my God, your face is red. Are you okay? And I said, yeah. And she was like, are you sure? I said, it looks like this every fucking time. And it has looked like this since I was a child. And she was like, well, it'll probably get better when you lose weight. I'm just going to tell you, I'm 100 pounds down, 47, and 15 years later, and I can get almost as red as this shirt when I exercise. So you just got to be proud of what you're doing and not worried about what you're looking like. And honestly, who gives a, honestly, Cindy, what is even the big deal? So what, your face is red. If you will start like being proud of the idea of like, I sweat like a beast. I look like somebody that worked out. Yay me. You won't worry about it anymore, but it's the thoughts you have like it's a bad thing. It is not a bad thing. Yeah, here's Tammy. I did get red face in high school and I weighed 122 pounds. And I'm just going to tell you, I worked the sauce up. All right, y'all, that's it for questions for today. I'm going to jump on out of here. We'll keep this one nice and tight since this was a lesson on top of Q&A. If you want to do sweat is fat crying. That's hilarious. If you want to join us for camp, I have one announcement. If you're coming in person, now's the fucking time to register. March 4th, today is what? I don't know what today is. Today's March 2nd. So this Friday, our room block discount expires. I believe it's $209 a night. It is $256 cheaper than the normal room rate. Room rates in Nashville run anywhere from $400-something a night to a bajillion dollars, basically. Nashville's popular. So if you're going to want to come in person and you want to get a smoking wicked deal and stay in the heart of downtown, one block off of Broadway where all the action is, I would get registered for in-person camp. It's the three-day transformation weekend. Other than that, y'all think about DSB. It's going to be a blast. It's going to be good. You can do it virtual and you can do it with me here in Nashville, where everybody gets a hug and a finish line picture. I don't care how damn long it takes you to come across that finish line. If we buy the remote, can we switch to in-person later if things open up in our schedule? Yeah, you can always switch over if you want to. That's no problem. All right, y'all. Y'all have a good one. I will see you later. Bye-bye.